Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The great Greek philosopher Socrates was made famous for his wisdom and immortalized in the annals of Western thought by the writings of his student Plato. Plato recorded a great number of dialogues between Socrates and those who approached him to test their mental mettle. In many cases, those who approached Socrates were surprised to learn from him that they were not really learning anything. In fact, Socrates was asking them questions instead. And the questions he asked, even if he would have been grateful to hear an adequate answer, were more typically asked so that the one who approached him would begin to realize that they thought they were confident about something and they should not have been. They should not have been so sure of what they were so sure about. The method of teaching by asking questions has since been called the Socratic method after Socrates himself and has been amongst the most annoying methods of teaching for millennia. A method intended to help someone come to a conclusion on their own by guiding them through their own way of thinking to its logical conclusion, and often helping them arrive at the dead end of their mental pathway on their own. When teachers do it, it's annoying because you know they know the answer and you wish they would just say it. Just teach. You're the one with the degree. Why are you asking me? But when someone who is really guiding you uses such questions, the source of annoyance is simply that you know what they're getting at. You know they're right, and you know that you know that they're right. The mother asks the young child, "And why do you think that you are entitled to ice cream?" The implied answer is obvious: you're not. The Socratic method was named after Socrates, but of course he was not the first or last to use it. Before him, the psalmist asks in the voice of God, "Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" And of course, the one who is asked to make sacrifice has to think, "No, then probably what you're asking for from me is for me to offer something valuable to me, to you. That is the flesh of bulls or the blood of goats." Just a few verses later in that same Psalm 50, "But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? Why are you speaking his law when you hate law?" It's a rhetorical question. You're meant to listen, and you're meant to think, and to recognize the insufficiency of the way that you're thinking or behaving, and then change. In the scripture portion we've heard today from St. Luke's Gospel, Jesus asks some questions. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? And you can guess that those who were first listening to him understood this was a rhetorical question. They were meant to listen, for the answer is obvious. If you can't see where you are or where you're going, then employing the help of another person who also has no idea where they are and also cannot see where they're going is not going to help. But it's not so simple as to say with Jesus, "Yes, I understand. Other people can be so stupid. Other people have such a hard time learning anything. And other people have such a difficulty admitting that they're wrong sometimes. I'm with you, Jesus. I just can't understand why other people can be so difficult. Sometimes I'd just like to reach in there and take whatever's in their eye, blocking their vision, and remove it for them." It's not so easy as saying this. And those who first heard Jesus speak are glad they stayed silent because of what Jesus says next. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" essentially, and how are you going to say to your brother, here, let me help you remove that speck from your eye when you can't even see the beam that's in your own? Those that heard Jesus first say this likely thought to themselves, I'm so glad I didn't say anything out loud about how obvious it is that the blind should not be leading the blind. I would have walked right into the next rhetorical question about helping others to see when I myself can't see so well. And in the end, this is indeed where many people stop. Readers get the sense that the meaning of the parable is simply to be more tolerant, more understanding, and generally more silent. After all, Jesus says just before this, judge not lest ye be judged, condemn not lest ye be condemned. Two of the most abused and misused verses in the entire New Testament. Now, Socrates would consider such an interaction successful if you learned that you just don't know what you think you know. But if you stop there, you have not yet heard what Jesus is saying. Thou hypocrite, Jesus says, or actor, it's the same word. Thou actor, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Jesus gives us a command at the end of this parable of the mote and the beam, and it is, keep quiet. He begins by calling a hypocrite anyone who acts as if they were a teacher of moral righteousness when they're not morally upstanding themselves. Jesus is saying, until you take the beam out of your eye, your moral instructions will be acting, hypocritical. And so, take the beam out of your own eye. That's the command. Not be quiet. Take the beam out of your own eye. Don't be an actor. Don't be a hypocrite. Take out the beam. If you see people breaking rules and your instinct is to chastise them about breaking rules, ask yourself, do you break rules? If you see people being greedy and you want to encourage them towards generosity, ask yourself, are you generous? If you see people being gluttonous and it disgusts you and you want to exhort them to restrain themselves, ask yourself, are you a glutton? And if you are any of these things, or any number of other things, take the beam first out of your own eye. But there is a second element of this command. Then you will see clearly to take the mote out of your brother's eye. That means that you're not meant to keep quiet, actually, beam or no beam. You are meant to prepare yourself to confront the iniquity in another person's life by first confronting the iniquity in your own life. And then, and only then, when the beam is out of your own eye, you may help to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. And in the end, and this is the point, you should both be seeing more clearly, and no longer will you be the blind leading the blind. You will be godly. You'll be like God. You will be Christ-like. You will be like the one who is telling the parable. You'll be in a position to speak just as Jesus is speaking this parable. Because if we return to the earlier words of Jesus that precede this talk of the blind leading the blind and beams and motes, we will see that Jesus has been speaking about being godly all along. Jesus said, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. And just stop there and ask, how is God the Father merciful? Because you might say, be ye therefore merciful as the celebrities are merciful. Be ye therefore merciful as the politicians are merciful. Be ye therefore merciful as a whole number of others are merciful. And that is not what Jesus said. He said, be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. So how is God the Father merciful? He does not wink at evil, and neither should you. He does not turn aside and overlook iniquity, and neither should you. But he is holy, and so should you be. And he cares for his creation as a holy father whose children are afflicted with a disease of sin. And so should you think of your brother or sister who is in sin. He is as a good father to his children, and he works to remove the speck or the beam from their eyes. And so should you to those you care for. People use the words, judge not, lest ye be judged, as a bludgeon to keep people silent about all forms of sin and evil. And you can see now that being hushed into silence so that evil may persist, this is not what the Lord is asking you to do, and it's not what he means. You can see that condemning no evil so that we are protected from the condemnation on ourselves is not the ultimate point. One step worse than the blind leading the blind is no one leading no one anywhere. Jesus said, follow me. That's a leading. We're going somewhere. He says quite positively, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall not only God but men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Our instruction from the Lord today, remove the beam from your own eye, and you will see clearly to take the mote out of your brother's eye, and then you both will see clearly, and then your judgment will be true, and then your progress will not be towards a ditch, but towards the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.